Welcome to the Pop Culture Show with Barnes, Leslie, and Cubby.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Show. I'm Barnes. That's Leslie on your right. That's Cubby on your left. And we're back. Today's guest is Damona Hoffman, by the way. She is now on the Drew Barrymore show as her dating expert. I didn't know you needed a dating expert on a show, but
it's a tough time right now. People are having a hard time how to meet someone during COVID.
Guess you're right. So that's her gig now. She also has the Dates and Mates podcast. So she will be up with us in just a bit. Please rate, review, and subscribe. How are you two folks?
No complaints here. I'm in sports overload, I'll tell you that. If you're a sports fan right now, oh my God, you got baseball playoffs, you got NBA finals, you got football. I mean, it's just all colliding and I love it.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Before we get too far in, need to say congratulations to Ashley Carmen, who is one of our listeners from Dunwoody, Georgia, I believe, if I remember correctly. She was the winner of the trip to Four Seasons Punta Mita.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Huge, huge. She was very, very excited. I think she was starting to pack while we were still on the phone.
Barnes, where's Punta Mita?
That would be Mexico, Leslie. That's, one to talk. So congratulations to her. She's an old Morning X listener who used to listen to us. Leslie and I were on a show called The Morning X in Atlanta for many years. So she's got that trip locked and loaded, a free stay at the Four Seasons in Punta Mita. And thanks to Four Seasons for giving us that to give away.
I mean, how many podcasts have really cool prizes? I mean, there's got to be a few, but not many.
I mean, I don't even understand how we're getting them. This month, of course, Cap Maison and St. Lucia.
Right.
The code will be coming up. You'll need that secret code. People have been very responsive to that. Everyone's like, oh, okay, I need that one.
Right.
Everybody, our inbox
paradise.
Is flooded. And it's funny to see the people submit the code. Like, and you can enter each week. So as, you know, each week goes, you can do one entry per week. So that's enticing for you, you know, enticing you to listen to the show.
And this is a legit feature as far as the code goes. We actually do look at a code, unlike the lies you used to tell back in the 90s. So Barnes told me a radio trick that I ended up stealing from you.
Oh, what?
Remember when you used to say on the radio, hey, if you want to see the video for this song, all you got to do is put in this. I forgot what you said. You were like, turn your radio to the setting of 4 on your volume level and you'll see the video for this song.
What? You
that? Gosh, I don't remember that. Are you sure that was me?
It was a total lie. He'd be like, all right, this is a brand new song here from Jesus Jones. And if you turn your car radio to level 4 right now, the video will appear on your dashboard.
Barnes doesn't remember that.
That sounds like something I would say, but I don't remember. I don't remember dreaming that one up. Uh-oh. Thanks for listening to our show, by the way. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, Pandora, Google Podcasts, really wherever you get your podcasts. Now on Amazon. Amazon Music just launched podcasts, and we were very excited to be one of the original podcasts to come out on that. And of course, social media, we need you.
Yeah, it's cool. I really feel the growth of this show. How are our numbers been lately, by the way? Normally, Barnes, I ask you, how are the numbers doing? Are we growing even more, or are we flatlining a bit? Come on, be honest.
In the control center right here, I do have the latest ratings.
Are we in Denmark? Are we in number one in any country?
I'm pulling up. We just debuted at 69 in Germany.
69.
Wow.
Unagen Blingdenbla.
99 red balloons on the way.
And we are, let's see, USA, France.
Weren't we big one time in Guatemala?
Yeah, we were number one. We are killing it in France. We're number 3,030 in France. Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
What's the number one podcast in America? Is it still like Joe Rogan?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Or one of those crime things.
We're charting in China, Brazil, India, of course, the USA. I say of course, but USA. And then a couple different categories, news, society and culture, entertainment news. We are not news. I don't know how we got there. But anyway, thank you for listening. Please share with a friend. That would be incredible. Anything crazy in your weeks before we get on with the show?
No, nothing really out of the ordinary crazy, Cubby.
The only thing I've been contemplating, you guys ever been apple picking?
Apple picking? No.
No, but I did go to a pumpkin patch last weekend.
all right, everyone is hitting me up saying, now that you have a kid, you're going to go apple picking eventually. And right now she's too young for it, but people are already kind of twisting my arm to do apple picking, or I've heard pumpkin picking too. And I just dread it. I hear the only fun part about it is maybe you get some wine or a little something before, but other than that, it's extremely boring. And I'm just wondering if you've ever done it.
It's a family apple thing though. It's, you know, you go to a patch and you pick blueberries or apples or pumpkins.
Why is it boring? I mean, because you just reach up and grab an apple and you're done?
Yeah, I can go to the damn store and buy that shit.
You sound like Barnes now.
You can be like, Leslie, why don't you just start with the tree, bro? Don't just go pick apples. Plant the tree. Wait for it. Right. Wait for it.
No, I know it's a whole experience, but this time of year, people are like, you got to go apple picking. You got to go apple picking. And I'm so sick of hearing it. And I know I will eventually, especially when the baby's, you know, 3, 4, whatever. But
Cubby, think of the photo op.
Such a cheesy thing.
Apple. Think of the photo op. Come on, hey, it'll be perfect.
A couple of technology things for you today in this show. Very importantly, tomorrow is the announcement for the new iPhone. iPhone 12 is the rumored name. Apparently 4 variations, and one of them is going to be like baby cat iPhone. It's going to be a mini. It's so funny. Marketing is everything.
Did they say how small, though?
The size of the 6.
Okay.
Remember that years ago? So like not as big as the Pro Max, probably like 75% of that. Why don't they just come out with one that has 2 buttons on it? Answer and hang up.
Well, like, I tell you what.
Like literally right. For old people. I'm not kidding.
I'm so sick of Apple taking my money because I'm now buying a new phone once every 2 years. I used to fall into that trap every year. And I'm just done. I'm so sick of it. You know, they
I'm in it.
When you update your phone starts acting quirky. They know what they're doing there. They're taking your money, man.
Well, there's always one new reason. And this time it's 5G. That's why.
Lanny, my husband's all about anything Apple. And they reel you in.
No, I'm a fan. But they really take all your money.
They hold back.
So good.
They hold back. They've got probably 3 more generations of cameras already ready.
Yeah,
right. It's been a slow drip like this next great camera when they've got 3 more great ones coming.
So you know what else is coming out tomorrow, by the way?
13th tomorrow. What?
Justin Bieber has a pair of Crocs coming out.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Yeah. He does.
Justin Bieber Crocs.
I wish you hadn't said that because that was going to be your Christmas present.
Why in the hell would you have that?
Yeah. Now, I don't know the whole deal with it. I mean, I guess they're specially, you know, bedazzled or something like that, but
Crocs are back in.
They are coming out tomorrow.
What are they paying him for that?
Oh, I can't imagine. But I will say,
bedazzled Crocs.
What in the hell? I'm looking at them; they're white.
Okay, the ones I see are yellow, and they have little what do you call it? You get your name on there.
Oh my gosh, that's the most ridiculous shoe of all time.
I know, but so many people love them.
Yep.
It's called the Crocs X.
Will you judge people when you look at them and they have Crocs? What kind of person wears Crocs?
The only free pass I give for people wearing Crocs are healthcare workers, maybe, or chefs. But other than that, they shouldn't be in anybody's wardrobe.
Man, it's bad.
I've had a pair.
The comfort shoe.
But I'm surprised, Leslie, you don't have it.
No, I've never really been into them, but I do know people that love them. They said they're comfortable.
Cubby, what's the worst thing fashion-wise you own and still currently wear, and you're like, screw it, I'm wearing it. It's mine.
Oh, good question.
Well, I wore that one shirt a couple of weeks ago on the podcast.
That was...
Jägermeister? No.
No, the
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
But for real, like you were trying to be funny, right? That's not really in your rotation?
No, that's in my rotation. I have a pair of acid wash jeans that I still wear, and they're coming back, man.
You're in New Jersey, you're okay, probably.
Yeah, what the hell?
You get Leslie?
I can't think of anything.
Because everything you have is just black.
Black on black. What about you?
Probably bar shirts, like t-shirts that probably have some bar on it.
Nothing wrong with that, though. You strike me as an Untuckit kind of guy. Those Untuckit shirts.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I hate those because they have the stupid, it's like rounded at the bottom. No, I'm not an Untuckit.
Well, there goes that sponsor.
I'm not a, cross another one off. Cross another one off the list. No.
Wow.
But that's a question you, the listener, can ask yourself. What is that one thing that either your, you know, your husband or your wife is like, dude, really? Come on. Or when, awesome. Or when you're going to head to dinner maybe, and then you both separate and go get ready, and then you come out and you meet and you get that eye, you get the stink eye, like, you're going to wear that?
How about our buddy Scott Sparks, a good friend of ours, Barnes? I think you know him, right, Leslie?
Yes. What did he do?
Scott Sparks, to this day, has not changed his wardrobe easily since 85, right, Barnes? He wears a polo shirt,
yeah, uniform,
khaki shorts, right?
Just uniform.
Right. We were at a restaurant. This was like back in like 94, 95. And we were leaving the restaurant and I was with Scott and he had his khaki shorts on and his polo shirt and his white shoes. And we were waiting for the valet. This old lady came up to him and gave him the valet ticket.
That's embarrassing. When you're at a store too, when someone does that, yeah. And you're like,
so funny.
At first, you're nice to them, like, I don't work here. And then they look at you like they're questioning whether you work there. It's like,
right, right.
No,
yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
Like, never wear a red shirt and khakis at Target. You'll be fucked, man. People be talking to you nonstop.
What is with your mouth all of a sudden? I've got to check the explicit box every week because of you.
No, you bleep me out, so I don't give a shit.
Stuff was flying out last week, boy.
Leslie, what's your favorite dirty word? Let's do a James Lipton question. Your favorite dirty word?
When you get mad, what's the one that just comes out no problem?
Probably dang.
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, you know mine.
What is yours, Barnes?
I think we're both probably fuck people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. Like if it's like something, fuck.
What? Yeah, exactly. It goes so well.
But Leslie, when's the last time you dropped a curse word?
Oh, I'm sure once a week, or twice a week.
Dang. I mean, what do you say?
No, I think I just try to
put Lanny
myself.
On.
He's outside blowing leaves.
Okay.
I have a question. Give me a word that's perfectly clean and fine, but you find it not appealing. Like to me, like moist.
Ooh.
What?
Like moist is like not appealing.
What are we doing on this show? What is happening right now?
We're talking pop culture, baby. So fuck it.
Okay. All right.
I got to play you something.
Uh-oh. What is it?
This guy, he meant to say, check your pantries for a recall, but he said, check your panties.
Check your panties. About 175,000 rice. I think that was supposed to be pantries.
Is that new?
I couldn't warn you before I saw it, and I couldn't warn you, Eric. I'm so sorry.
About 175,000 rice and slow cookers are being recalled due to fire and electric shock.
Ouch.
Hazards.
Just go ahead and say hello.
Anyway, it's a couple of years old, but me and a friend were on a news blooper rabbit hole the other day, and I think I've seen every one, but I had yet to see this one, and I was just like, I love news bloopers.
Guys, shifting gears to a somber note, this was such a horrible week for music fans and fans of Van Halen. We lost Eddie Van Halen last week. Man, that one hit.
That hit so hard.
These new ones are stinging.
No, it was like a punch in the gut when I heard the news.
I mean, Neil Peart. I mean, there have been a bunch of music people this year, but that one just came out of left field. I mean, I know he's been sick, but I didn't know he was, you know, terminally sick, like, it just was like happening.
Yeah. And the sad response, you know, I don't know if you saw the Twitter or Instagram post from his son, Wolfgang, and really nice one too from Valerie Bertinelli, because they were together for like 20 years.
Yeah. You know, their music streaming has gone up 6,000%.
Wow.
Since he passed.
Well, you know, he's been ranked, I've seen many rankings. He's like number seven top guitarist of all time.
Of all time, absolutely.
Yeah, and that was my first concert.
Really?
Van Halen?
Yep. It was Black Sabbath, and Van Halen was opening.
Really?
Corpus Christi, Texas, November of 1978. I looked up the date, and I posted a picture, actually, from that show. on my Instagram, and it just, I mean, I just sat there just kind of numb.
Yeah, it was so sad. It was so quiet, and like you said, we didn't know it was happening. Like, we knew he was sick, but then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it's just 2020 has just kicked
everybody.
So
yep.
But at some point, some of these, when your heroes start dying,
right,
you start questioning or taking account that, oh shit, I'm gonna die.
Well,
you know, you're that much closer to it.
It brings it full circle.
65 is also so young. But when you're 15, young. You think, oh, they're old. And now we're kind of getting closer to that.
And I never knew what my rock people, how old they were. I don't think I ever even, I mean, of course, we didn't have the internet to look it up. But I never was like, oh, well, I just know they're older than me, older than I am.
Right? It's just the reality, though, if you look at the last 5 years, like David Bowie and Prince and Tom Petty.
Michael Jackson. That was 10 years ago. Right?
Icon.
Yeah, the icons that we're losing, it is unbelievable.
But there's one hell of a concert up in heaven, I'll tell you that. There's some good ones up there. I don't know if this is true or not, but, you know, he had throat cancer. And I was hearing maybe he got it from using metal picks. He always had a metal guitar pick in his mouth.
I never heard that story. That's crazy.
Yeah, and he's had metal. He always had metal guitar picks. And then that's how he contracted throat cancer. That's what I was reading on Twitter from. I know Twitter's not always the Bible,
yeah,
but
Twitter. But he had part of his tongue removed,
right?
At one point, I want to say 5 years ago, and I thought that whatever it was that he had done, that it solved all the issues,
right?
So you know, sad, so sad.
Him and Valerie Bertinelli. They kind of, at some point, look alike in certain pictures.
Did. Like 15 years ago or whatever.
Is it me?
Like, no, you're right. They had the same haircut.
Yeah. The one, especially the 80s pictures. They almost totally look like their brother or sister.
Cubby, I looked that up, and it did say that he originally had tongue cancer, which eventually moved to his esophagus. He once speculated that it was caused by putting metal picks in his mouth.
Right. So it's like a genuine news story. It's not like I just saw it on Twitter.
No. That was speculation.
So thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. So
who was your Van Halen? Like, were you a Dave guy or girl, or were you a Sammy, or were you a Gary Cherone? Which iteration? Because, see, I could do both Dave and Sammy.
I like them both. I really
do. They did that tour when they both were on the road. That was like the best of both worlds. No pun intended.
Right. Because OU812, which came out in 1988, I believe, that was after. I mean, David Lee Roth was gone by then, and I love that album.
OU812, right? Was he? I thought, isn't that the one that had Hot for Teacher on it?
No. OU812 was like 88. That had When It's Love.
You're right. I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure. So what I'm saying is, like, I like Hot for Teacher, and I like the late 80s. I even like Right Now.
Like Panama?
Early 90s. Panama was great.
Panama.
Jump. I mean, obviously, Jump. That's easy.
When they came out with Jump, people were so aggravated. But that's their biggest hit.
Yeah, it really is. And people were mad because, well, I say people, like the Van Halen fans, they couldn't believe they were using synthesizers. Like, here's a rock band attempting to do what all the other 80s acts were doing, but yet it worked.
Like, one of the first radio songs, remember Dance the Night Away?
Mm-hmm.
Which is I've heard that probably. I've been playing Shuffle on Spotify. I've been shuffling Van Halen like everybody else for the last week. That's just sad.
Jamie's crying.
I mean, all of our big icons are dropping.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, like, who's going to be the rock stars of the future, honestly.
Well, who?
Good point.
Stones
leave, it's like in McCartney. Like, what? Who's out there?
Like, left. Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones.
Right.
Who else that's old and established and that big? Name another one quickly.
Well, if you go down about 60-ish or 60s would be Springsteen.
Right. Springsteen.
You know.
Yeah. Keith Richards will live to 200.
Oh, yeah. You know he will.
Remember how we were making jokes in the 80s? Like, Keith Richards might have 5 years left. He's outliving everybody.
Exactly. I actually have more music stuff for you guys in Celebrity Sleaze. I don't know if you saw this big story, but somebody from my world, Morgan Wallen, big country artist, had a huge hit called Whiskey Glasses. He got uninvited to be on SNL. Like, who gets uninvited to be on SNL? But apparently there were some photos and videos rocking around on TikTok that he had been out partying, not social distancing, before his appearance on SNL. And they're like, COVID protocols. And he was already in New York with his whole team getting ready to do SNL. And he had a huge apology, which I felt was heartfelt.
Okay, I'm not trying to be a dick, but I have no idea who he is.
And well, you know, it's crazy because I did look at a lot of the responses on Twitter, and a lot of people were like, I mean, it went all over the place. His fans were like, COVID is a hoax. And then other people, who the hell is he?
Well, what I was going to say is the fact that Saturday Night Live had him booked, I'm assuming he's somewhat of a mainstream name. I just have I've never heard the guy's name ever.
Either have I. I had to look him up too. And
well, here's the thing. He hasn't been around forever, but just in the short time he has been around, he's had huge hits and, you know, big streaming hits. So I'm sure that's why SNL had him on.
Well, he's got a huge mullet.
Yeah, he's known for his mullet.
Oh, he's
actually a really good guy, but, you know, he's a young guy, and I think his, I don't know if you saw his Instagram apology, but it was heartfelt.
Here's a bit of it.
I'm in New York City in a hotel room. I was getting ready for SNL this Saturday, and I got a call from the show letting me know that I will no longer be able to play. And that's because of COVID protocols, which I understand. I'm not positive for COVID, but my actions this past weekend were pretty short-sighted, and they have obviously affected my long-term goals and my dreams. I'd like to apologize to SNL, to my fans, to my team for bringing me these opportunities, and I let them down. And on a more personal note, I have some growing up to do. You know, I think I've lost myself a little bit. I've tried to find joy in the wrong places, and so I'm going to go try to work on that.
I'm sorry, I played the Eminem clip instead. Do we have the other guy?
He did say that Lorne Michaels said that they'd have him back on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty sincere.
It was.
Yeah.
So, you know, Demi Lovato is acting like she was never engaged, but she did give the ring back to Max, Eric, or however you say his name. Did you see that ring was like any valued from like almost up to $5 million? Like, who paid for that ring?
Yeah, I heard that. I don't get it either.
She left it on the kitchen table for him. Like, see ya.
But he did get it back, so that's big. I mean, if she had kept it, that would have been a whole different story.
I mean, it's the size of a kitchen table. How do you leave that thing on a kitchen table? $5 million?
Did you see this bizarre Ed Sheeran story? His manager finally came out with it about his sword injury.
No.
This is so funny. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I guess he and James Blunt, who's another British singer, and here we go, Princess Beatrice, who just got married. I guess they were wasted. What?
Rewind in your mind. That's not how you say it. It's Beatrice.
Beatrice. Oh, what? Yeah. Did you correct me last week or something?
We had a lesson on that many, many episodes ago. We had a clip of her. She says Beatrice.
Beatrice.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that because Beatrice is on Golden Girls.
Beatrice.
It's Beatrice.
Well, apparently they got wasted and she had an old sword and she nicked Ed Sheeran under the eyes. I was like, what?
That's crazy, right?
It's a little knighting accident.
What a good story.
It is a great story.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing, I don't know if you've watched any of these virtual concerts, but Billie Eilish is going to do a global live stream October 24th. I actually think I would watch that.
Get money, absolutely. Get paid.
At least, you know, in the comfort of your own home, why not? I don't know if you've seen or been watching or following all the Britney Spears stories about the conservatorship. You know, her dad had it and then her sister Jamie Lynn had it. But, you know, the word going around that's really heartbreaking and sad is that she's on so many medications that she really can't judge things for herself.
Like Trump. I mean, look,
you just threw that right on in there.
We're not political. Hey,
no, we're not political, but it's true. He's hopped up on steroids, but go ahead. Leslie.
Yeah, I guess
you know, Britney Spears. What is she like, Cubby?
Well, but she's changed. I mean, she was the innocent girl in the very beginning. And then, I saw her in Vegas about 2 years ago and we did the meet and greet And it felt like I wasn't talking to she, like she wasn't in her body.
Right. Really? It's like she's a shell of herself. And it's what's sad is that you do see her sometimes and it's like she's looking through you. If you've seen her in interviews or even on Instagram, some of her videos, it's really right. sad.
And I've interviewed her probably 15 times, but it was like the first time I'd met her when I saw her 2 years ago. I'm like, Cubby from Z100, we did a few interviews together. Yeah.
Hi, no, really? Cubby.
Yeah, it was weird. This it was like
first time I've heard like a firsthand experience. I always wonder, is that for real?
Yeah,
it is for real.
She's that out of it.
She's been on so many medications and
yeah,
and that whole Save Britney thing, you know, the hashtag Save Britney has really complicated what's going on with her family. And so, you know, listen, I wish her well. I think it's really sad and unfortunate. Did you see that Ellen's ratings are down?
Like 40%?
40%.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to wonder
if they don't come back.
Done soon?
Yeah. If they don't come back, the sponsor money's not there. Woo.
Right. You have to wonder also, do you think networks are trying to find that next Ellen, even though they probably have a couple of years before that will go away? Like a Drew Barrymore could be the one you know, that time slot, Oprah went away. Ellen kind of took over.
You know, people love Kelly Clarkson though. Cause she's also like super positive and fun.
Yep. Yep.
And then I don't know if you've been watching any of the Dancing with the Stars episodes or seen anything on social media, but Tyra Banks, another one.
She's a disaster.
Yeah. I don't know if she said apparently last week she announced the wrong bottom two couples during Monday's show last week. Ouch.
Yeah. She had a Steve Harvey moment, basically.
Exactly.
She really did. But people were trashing her outfit on Twitter. They were saying like, whoever dresses Tyra Banks must really hate her.
It was bad. I think she puts in less work than you two do on this show.
Ouch.
Come on, man.
No, I'm just saying she looks, you know, like she's phoning it in. At least you guys. Yeah.
Wait, are you saying that we are phoning it in?
No, you mail it in. She phones it in. You mail it in.
Actually, that's fair. I'll give you that. I'm pretty much mailing it in.
Yeah.
Barnes, I know that you watch all these reality shows. What is going on with Colton Underwood? Because apparently he's got a restraining order against him. What is happening there?
Well, Ken,
people want to know.
Ken Fuchs, the director of The Bachelor, who was my tenant, he has just left to go off to do The Bachelor. We were trying to get info. He would not pry. We sit down at dinner. He has dinner with us, I don't know, three or four times a week when he comes home because he's doing Family Feud. And Heather will just, I'll see it coming. It'll be like, so on The Bachelor, she'll kick into Bachelor talk. And he's looking at her like, he goes, you know more than I do. Because she listens to all these podcasts and all this stuff. She'll be like, so Ken, Colton has this done and da 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 da. And Cassie says, I can't remember their names from the last season. I don't even know who these people are, but I do watch it. But he would not give up. Either he's a good actor or he really doesn't know.
Because a lot of people thought, I thought Colton was like
gay,
you know. No, I just thought that people loved him. What happened? Apparently, like he's got to wear a GPS tracking device.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I had always heard the rumor was that he was gay.
I never heard that.
Seinfeld would say, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that was the rumor. And so now you hear that he's stalking this girl, Cassie. I don't know. We were around them because we were their stand-ins. When we went to visit Ken one time in LA, it was the final rose with Colton and Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
And they were acting very, very normal.
Yeah, I always thought he was the golden boy.
Bachelor is the only show you watch, Barnes, that has ratings.
What? What,
dude?
Big Brother is killing it.
They're not killing it.
They are killing it. Shows.
Big Brother is not killing it,
they're
dude.
Killing it.
What? Pull the ratings for me. I guarantee you.
Pull the
dude. C-SPAN's beating fucking.
Oh my God! You are
Big Brother.
Full of crap. Big Brother and Love Island was killing it too.
Killing the ratings.
Big Brother ratings. Here we go. Wednesday ratings. Do we want Wednesday? TV Dancing with the Stars dips to season low against rescheduled NFL game. That's bad. Big Brother, number one.
Uh-huh. There's no way. With what demo?
10-8, 1849. Uh-huh.
It's unbelievable. Wait,
for that night?
Next. Yeah, it's at night.
No. For that night.
He said for that night.
Oh, well. Yeah, I guess. But I mean, I'm just doing a random test.
Cubby, can you imagine if Barnes, we all live together? Like our TV choices are so different.
Oh my God. I'd move out.
Your choice would be go get your own damn TV.
I don't watch anything he watches.
Quit making fun of my people.
Did you see the Brad Pitt story?
Kelly Cake Wars. I didn't see it.
This woman, Kelly Christina from Texas, she's saying Brad Pitt owes her money. She's suing him. She's claiming that she worked with him on one of his foundations, the Make It Right Foundation, for appearances.
Catfish him.
Absolutely. And here's the crazy part that makes me think this is so not legitimate. Obviously, Brad Pitt doesn't know who she is, but she did say that, yes, we did talk about charity events, and we also talked about discussions of marriage. Come on.
Is that it, Fram? No more sleeves?
Yeah.
All right. So, before we go, we have Damona Hoffman still coming, and we need to give you the code. Here is your Cap Maison code if you would like to win a 4-night all-inclusive stay. Hey, 4 nights in
Paradise. That's insane.
They're even covering your cocktails.
What?
This is unbelievable. All inclusive 4 nights, Cap Maison St. Lucia. Look it up at capmaison.com. You can get registered once a week. Each episode will have a new code. The code this week is 13. 13. Hey, Cubby, ask me why is it 13?
Why is it 13?
I think I know.
Cubby, thanks for... Oh, Leslie, why?
I bet I know why it's 13.
Why?
Your daughter likes Taylor Swift.
No. It's 13 because in St. Lucia, on the 13th of December, they celebrate their national day. Now, the island is named after St. Lucy. Oh. And that's where it's St. Lucia's, but it's named after St. Lucy.
The island's
like 51 years old. And December 13th, so that's why 13 is the secret code. So there you go. The way you register is you follow at Cap Maison on Instagram. You follow at The Pop Culture Show on Instagram. And then you DM us that code 13, then you will be in. We will draw at the end of the month a random winner, and that person will get a 4-night stay. And don't forget, I'll be doing the show live from there in a couple of weeks.
It's pretty easy to qualify.
Yeah, I'm going to show you around. When I'm there in a few weeks, I'm going to take you around like a little baby, show you everything.
Another reason to not win.
What?
Lawrence is the concierge.
I'm going to show you virtually. You're such a little bitch, Cubby. this show has gone south.
Off the rails.
Oh, boy.
Our guest today is big time from the Drew Barrymore Show, the dating expert from the Drew Barrymore Show, among other things like Dates and Mates, the podcast, Washington Post. I mean, she is a multimedia queen. Damona Hoffman, welcome to the Pop Culture Show.
Thank you. You forgot Elliot Times.
gosh, I'm so sorry.
No, my resume has just gotten too long here, Barnes.
Yeah, you can no longer come on. The resume is too long.
Damona, congratulations on being a part of the Drew Barrymore Show now. That's exciting.
Thanks, girlfriend. It is really exciting. And Drew she's so cool, and she just loves love. Even though she has been divorced, I think a couple times, she likes helping other people find love. So basically we're aligned in that way, and I come on for her love bug segment and answer people's love questions. It's fun.
I mean, dating, we talked to you probably, I want to say episode 2, and we're on episode 30-something now, about COVID dating, because this whole thing launched during COVID, obviously, because we had nothing better to do. And now... I mean, how many are there going to be a lot of COVID babies? Is that a thing, or people were breaking through and having their secret quarantines?
It's funny. There is a theory about the COVID baby, but the data does not back that up. There is not a baby boom happening. It's quite the opposite, actually. There are a lot of breakups happening. We're seeing an increase in divorce rates, but I think people are dating and moving into relationships in a different way than we were before COVID happened.
I could see the divorce thing being a thing. I mean, think about the time. That's a lot of time with your SO.
Yes, and if you are not aligned on certain things, and especially, like, I have 2 little kids at home, and it's a lot, the whole virtual distance learning and being with your partner 24/7. So if you don't have good communication, you don't have respect for one another, you have, you know, your side piece. I don't know what's going on in people's houses, but you can't hide it any longer.
Are there a lot of just basic hookups going on? Because I keep hearing this from a lot of my single friends that it's okay to just hook up. And I'm like, what?
No. The answer is no, it's not okay. And no, it's not really happening. The attitudes are shifting a little bit since the beginning of COVID, and people are more open to social distance dates. So I'm seeing this, and actually Match did their Singles in America study where they've done this every year for 10 years, where they talk to thousands of singles and get their attitudes on dating. And people are now open to social distance date. Two-thirds of people said that they would actually move offline, which was not at all the case at the beginning of COVID. But it's still a little bit tenuous about when you cross the line and actually kiss someone or have sex. In Canada, they said you can, they put up, their health department said you can have sex with people, but just wear a mask because it doesn't transmit sexually as well as it does if you are talking face to face. So you can totally sleep with them. Just don't have a dinner date.
I know some people who have settled on a partner, meaning that partner was kind of in their stratosphere when this whole thing happened. They're like, fuck it. You're my jam until further notice.
Yeah.
until I get vaccinated.
That's a real thing. People are bubbling, and people are even
bubbling.
One thing that really shocked me about this Match study was that a quarter of singles were having sex with their non-romantic roommates. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. We're just like, well, you'll do.
Really?
That honestly shocked me.
That whole hookup thing, I'm telling you.
That shocked me. But I guess they're a safe person. You know, they're in their bubble. You have the same risk profile. I wouldn't do it.
What are you recommending, though, for people to meet people? Are you recommending, like, sites like Match? I mean, because honestly, it's so hard right now to just go out and meet anyone.
Well, I've been recommending apps like Match and Tinder and Bumble and all of them for a long time. That's how I met my husband 17 years ago. I met him online. And so I've been coaching people on how to navigate dating apps ever since. And I have always said it's the most efficient way to meet a match. But now it's really the only game in town, unless you're going to like social distance raves or speed dating. I don't know. But it's super efficient if you're doing it the right way, or it's a really good time waster if you're doing it the wrong way. Either way, that's kind of where we are right now in the era of dating and quarantine. We're bored, right?
What is the whole point of this Match study? Like, why do they do it?
So people like you and I will talk about it. I think they want to know what their potential users are thinking and saying right now. So they do this study with the Kinsey Institute's Dr. Helen Fisher, who you may, she's a biological anthropologist. And so she's their scientific advisor. So they like to know from a scientific perspective. But for me, I'm a data geek. So I'm like, I want to know all of these specifics about who's breaking up, what the attitudes are. And a lot of times, Barnes, it confirms what I've already been telling daters and my podcast listeners. They know I'm reading all this data throughout the year. I'm watching what's happening with singles. So usually there aren't any surprises to me in it. But like I said, that roommate one, that really threw me for a loop.
What's got to be strange, though, Damona, is so many people, because they're out of work, have moved back home with their parents. So what about those people?
That is a real thing, particularly among the Gen Z daters and even some millennials. Their perspectives were certainly different. And a lot of people now are doing these virtual dates and just using the apps have integrated video dating. It's funny because I did a Dates and Mates episode called The Future of Dating on, I think, like March 4th. I released this and I was predicting what the trends were going to be. And I said, get used to video chat dating because that's going to be the biggest game in town for the next couple of years, having no idea that COVID was going to become what it actually has. So many of the apps, I was just saying it because a lot of the apps were integrating video dating tools into the app. So you don't ever have to leave Bumble. You just hit the chat button and then suddenly the video chat pops up and you're talking. And so I thought that that would be a trend, but now that became the only way people were dating. And the Match study referenced that as well, that that the majority of people, I think it was like two-thirds of their users were video chat dating, were open to it, and were using it as a filter now. That's the way it's shifted since back in March. It used to be the replacement for the first date. Now it is a filter to get you past the to get you onto the first date in social distance right. style.
Well, I know we're talking about Match, but what is the hottest dating app now? Because once upon a time, Match was it, but it's getting kind of long in the tooth. I mean, there are other ones that have overtaken it. But Match is like any people don't talk about Match like they used to, in a sense of you're on Match and that's a given.
Is it an age thing, though? Because maybe the younger people are doing Tinder and older people are doing Match.
The apps do.
You're the expert.
They do break down along age demographics, certainly. Match is still a juggernaut. And the Match Group, by the way, owns all of the dating apps, pretty much, except for Bumble and Coffee Meets Bagel. So they've bought Hinge and Plenty of Fish and OkCupid and Tinder. Those are all under the Match Group. So it's just, it's really like when people ask me, which app should I be on? I tell them you have to really test and figure out what's the best fit for the area you're in. Like Leslie was saying, the age that you are and the pool that you want to date in, and also the way that you use it. Like for me, on Bumble, there's so little information about the dater. So when I'm swiping for clients and I'm going through, I'm like, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you three things about this dude. And he has two pictures. I don't know if I should swipe right or left. The difference with Match or with OkCupid, where you have to answer questions that tell you about compatibility, you actually know a lot more about the daters. But for some people, they're like, I don't need all that extra information. Let me just swipe right, get into the chat and see who I have a connection with over chat, especially for younger daters. They don't want to do all that research up front.
So any other nuggets in this Match, whatever it's called?
Well, obviously politics.
State of dating.
Politics. And I'm also seeing this with
like what?
OkCupid. They just launched this VILF campaign. Voter, I'd like to... You know what?
Fuck.
Wow.
You know what?
Yeah.
VILF.
I won't say it, but you will. But they have a voter badge. And now Bumble also just added this voter badge. And that declares that you are registered to vote in the 2020 election. And the OkCupid VILF campaign showed us that the majority of people will not match with you if you did not declare that you're voting. The people who voted had a 63% higher chance of snagging a date. But then what this Match data shows is that a lot of the people are not just looking for someone who is politically motivated, who is registered to vote. They want them to agree. And 3/4 of them want someone to share their same political beliefs. But here's a question I want to pose to you, because there's always been this age old theory that you should not talk about politics on a first date. I still feel like you should not talk about politics on a first date. But the Match study said that 30% think debating political issues with a date is sexy. Do you think it's sexy?
I never thought it was sexy, but maybe because it's just so in front of us right now, maybe that's why, with the looming election and everything.
Yeah, sexy is your tight jeans, not your Biden pin.
I don't know. Like,
remember that, Barnes.
VILF. But maybe you're not a VILF. I don't know.
Don't you think it used to be that it was so further apart that, let's just say for Republicans and Democrats, it used to be those worlds were much kind of closer. I mean, they still weren't close, but now it's just so riveting. It's so far apart that you just don't want to go anywhere near if they're not on your team.
Yes.
You have no interest in going there because that's a lifetime of attitude, a lifetime of, how you live.
Yeah. As I said earlier, I've been doing this for a while, like met my husband online 17 years ago, started coaching a year or two after that. And there's been a huge shift especially in the last 4 years. And I'll let you do the math and figure out what happened around that time. But there has been a big shift towards people putting political affiliation first. That is now a primary filter. When it used to be third or fourth on someone's list, now they're like, don't even talk to me if you vote this way. And so I can see why people feel like it's sexy to have those kind of conversations on a first date. And also there's this feeling of if we're arguing about something or we're debating, there's all that emotional energy that gets invested that makes them feel like something is happening. But I learned from a lot of false attractions before I met my man that is actually not a good sign of compatibility.
Fran, back in the day, if it would have been a conversation where, you know, my party was A and yours was B, and I was feeling like mine might need to be A for the night. You know, how many
maybe
of
not
those,
now.
How many of those are like, hey, maybe I'm gonna sign up on your side for like 2 weeks, and then magically you're like, yeah, I'm not feeling anymore. Guess who I voted for? And then you're out.
You know what's funny?
I think there's so much division right now.
But in this study, they also said that almost a quarter of singles changed their political affiliation during the pandemic. That was also kind of surprising to me that like COVID made them, they're so tired of being cooped up. They're just like, whatever, I'll just check a different box.
I can see that. Are people open about, you know, especially when you're looking at profiles, are people wondering if a potential match has had the virus?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. That was not something that they studied. But you know what? You should be a dating expert because that is a really good question. And that's something that I'm getting a lot on the Dates and Mates podcast. People are writing in like, how do I have that conversation? It's almost like the STI conversation. When do you bring it up? How do you bridge it? And then like I had a client the other day who was on a social distance date and the guy was kind of judgy about her mask use. And then they were having a drink and the server said, do you want to sit inside or outside? And she was like, outside, of course. Oh. And he was like, oh, okay. It's going to be like that. I'm seeing the break in the fabric here of people that are divided on the COVID issue. And it's challenging navigating that conversation. So what I tell my clients is to make sure you figured out where you land on it, what your COVID safety precautions are, what your comfort level is, because eventually, like we can't stay distanced forever. And now as people are moving into social distance dating and cuffing season is approaching, we have to start thinking about what's your plan. If you are going to get past, say, the third date, you're going to have to kiss this person or have sex with them or shack up with them eventually. So how do you cross that barrier?
Wait, what season?
Oh, cuffing.
Cuffing season.
Cuffing season. Yeah, get with the program, Barnes. We're approaching.
What is
cuffing season?
Cuffing.
We're both married, so we have no idea what cuffing season is.
It's the biggest season of the dating year. It's cuffing. Like no, don't think dirty. Not like that. It's like you're getting handcuffed. You're getting connected to this person throughout the long winter season. It's biological in a way. We like to nest as we approach the winter months. This is a real thing. We approach the winter months and we need a partner. Well, not me. I live in California.
You live in California.
No, it's all one season here. But I've been thinking about this for my clients in other areas because I coach people like all over the country, all over the world, really. And it suddenly dawned on me, I have a client that is in New York and I was like, oh, we have to find you a match like now because as soon as, what are you going to do for social distance dates when the weather turns cold? You're going to go sledding together or something? I can't handle the cold, which is one of the reasons I live in California, even though I'm from Michigan. I can't handle the cold. So now it's really easy to meet someone for a picnic or for, you know, a walk and some ice cream. But the whole conversation is going to change. And cuffing season isn't new. That's something that's been around for a few years. It's always been around, but the term's been around for a few years. But I think we're going to be approaching cuffing season on hyperspeed over the next couple of months.
Man, I feel like it's already been that. I mean, once someone found their like tag, you're it. You're my party for the next X months.
Damona, any other, you know, tips for dating for people that are listening right now?
I have tons of tips, but I wanted to address the COVID quick partnership that we were talking about, because a lot of celebrities are sort of the canaries in the dating coal mine, and they tell us what the trends are going to be. And so we were seeing a lot of celebrities, especially, partnering off really quickly. Like Demi Lovato had this whirlwind romance. She like popped up in a video chat that she popped up in an Instagram story that her boyfriend Max Eric was doing, and people didn't even know they were dating. And then as soon as that was off, that was out, then all of a sudden they were engaged. And I was like, this is too fast. I said on my Instagram, I was like, this is too fast. You need to know somebody. Here's a tip. You need to know someone all through the seasons before you accept a marriage proposal and get married. And people were like, no, Damona, it happens very fast. And I met my person and now we're together for 20 years. And I was like, watch. 1 month later, those fools were talking about they are not engaged anymore. And now Demi Lovato dropped a new single trying to pretend like they weren't even together or engaged in the first place.
Any other celebrity dating stuff happening right now? What's hot?
Well, a more positive story is Reba McEntire. So she got divorced recently, and she started dating before the pandemic. And she's doing what I like to call slow love. I actually borrowed this from Dr. Helen Fisher, who did the Match study. She talks about how we really build connections slowly and over time. So Reba and Rex Lynn, they had a dinner date.
Rex Lynn.
Yeah, they had a dinner date before COVID hit. And then they said that they've been chatting throughout the pandemic so they can get to know each other through text and through video chat and social distance dating. And I'm hearing this from a lot of my clients too, that as they're slowing down and really having deeper, more meaningful conversations with people, they're getting to know them on a deeper level than if they just like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and ran into bed and didn't have any of that, those deeper, more meaningful conversations and connections, they might not have ever gotten there. Sarah Silverman, too, same deal. She met someone actually during the pandemic at GameStop. she went to GameStop and through a friend, they play the same game. And so he was like, you want to play online with me? This is how people are meeting today, Barnes. So they started playing Call
Sarah
of Duty.
Sarah Silverman's GameStop.
GameStop.
GameStop. But yeah, gaming, that's
random.
A real thing. It's a real thing that you can meet someone through gaming. It's almost like, do you remember the Second Life? Do you remember Second Life?
Yeah.
It was ages ago, but people were building these whole fantasy relationships in this virtual world. It was a major thing. And then when they shut down Second Life, people had to return to the real life. So now the gaming relationships, it's somewhere in between where they're actually video chat dating. They're just also playing a game, which is another great tip that I have for if you are going to video chat, give it an activity so it's not so much pressure.
They have some of those in virtual reality where you're in just a house. It's almost like you're at a house party. And you're just walking around the house and you can just go up and start talking to people. The problem is there's so many creeps that get on there and these pervs get on. Like if you're a woman and you're on there, I guarantee you, you'll be assaulted verbally. And it's, you know, just ruins it for everybody.
Yeah.
But that is a thing. And it's like you're at a virtual nightclub. It's very strange.
Pervs will ruin anything, honestly. I've also heard from a few. I was like really excited about virtual chat dating. And then I've heard from several clients and actually somebody that I'll be coaching coming up on the Drew Barrymore show who had this guy show up to the video chat totally naked from the waist down. And it's like the apps don't really have a way to prevent that. Once you start video chatting,
it's crazy.
They've done all these things to make it more safe. They've put in filters to keep people from sending dick pics. They've made sure that there's photo verification, so the person that you're talking to really is who they say they are, and their photos match their face with facial recognition software. I don't know how they stop some perv from taking his pants off on a video chat.
That's crazy. So if you're coaching somebody and that happens to you and that happens to them, what do you tell that person to do? Exit immediately?
Cease and desist immediately. Block and report,
cease
really.
And desist.
But I find that the dating apps really do take safety and security very, very seriously. And I'm always shocked at the number of people that were like, oh, I got a dick pic, so I just unmatched that person. And I'm like, no, unmatch and report that person so they don't do it to another person. And of course, they'll just go on another app and they'll find another way. But it just creates more trouble for them, another barrier for entry. And eventually, I hope we find a way to stop it.
You can't recover from a dick pic. I mean, once you throw that out there, you're done.
I still haven't recovered.
No, I'm just.
I haven't recovered from Chris Evans' dick pic. Okay.
But
did you see that one last night? I'm not going to ask you,
yeah,
Barnes.
She claims she doesn't.
It was taken down by the time I tried to look for
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah, me
but
too.
But what I was going to say is the reverse. The reverse of that, if a woman flashes the camera and sends it to a guy, it's perfect.
Yeah, but we're not.
You're not going to see one person.
No, but we're not.
Block and report.
We're not doing that, though. Like, women are not doing titty pics.
I know. So, I'm just saying.
Because we're not.
If it was happening.
Like, well, I mean, we could get into a whole conversation about, you know, the objectification of the female body, but let's keep it light. It's a pop culture show.
Let's keep it light. Okay. Since we, you know, I don't know what happened to Cubby's world today. His whole world got shut down. The technology just wasn't working for him today. So that's why he's not here. So I want to ask both of you a question before you go, Damona and Leslie, before we end the show. How do you get, this is not dating. It could be. How do you get off of a group text message nicely?
Oh,
that's my question for the team today.
I want the answer
to
that.
How do you do it?
I have no answers, but I hate my friends. Know I there are two things I do not like. Do not CC me on a group message and reply all. I cannot with that. And then
it's a lot of family.
Group text,
I think.
Oh, yeah. And then the group text. Tell me, Leslie, somebody. Because this is the worst. This is the worst.
Well, I can tell you this. If my husband's on it and, you know, his text is going off every 5 seconds, he's like, get me off of this group text.
But when you do that, when you leave it, you set up everyone's pissed at you.
I know. You know what I do? Because I'm on a lot of group text. I just conveniently don't answer it for like 2 days, and then all of a sudden I think they realize that I do not want to be on this group text.
Well, you can silence.
What do you do, Barnes?
You can silence the notifications. That's step one.
Always.
Yes. But then when you look at your phone, you have, you know, 17, the little number is 17, and that drives me crazy. The anal in me will not allow. Yes. Like, I'm like, what? I have 17? I have a little squiggly. But the people who send the group text and then get pissed at you because you bailed.
It's too much.
See, the people in my world know up front, don't even add me. Like, it's like a joke with my friends because I'm like, just don't even add me to the group text. So once you set up that expectation, this also works for dating. Like, set up the expectation and then just follow through. Also, parenting works for that too. So I just say, don't add me to a group text. And then if they do, I'm like, did I stutter? I said no group text. You know, I cannot be here. Goodbye.
Honesty is the best policy.
You can check out Damona on Dates and Mates. That is her podcast, available on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get your podcasts. And of course, on Wednesdays on the Drew Barrymore Show.
It's not every Wednesday. It's not always Wednesday. Oh. It varies, but you'll see me every couple weeks. Yeah, you'll see me every couple weeks on the Drew Barrymore Show.
Good.
Nice. Just do a twice left wink and we'll know you're talking to us.
I'm always talking to you.
All right.
Thank you, Damona.
Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We are The Pop Culture Show. We'll see you next week.